So this morning I want to share with you, I don't have a sermon for you. So this is my confession, I don't have a sermon for you. I have some thoughts. I prefer to use a text. I prefer to look at the Greek or the Hebrew and tell you what it means and apply it to maybe what it means in our context. I'm going to talk to you today about something I have no idea about, okay? Absolutely useless. So that is my disclaimer, okay? We're going to talk about gardening and we're going to talk about spring. And at that point, it's amazing Dylan is still on his chair. So Dylan and George and even Alan, you guys are going to have to maybe speak to this, possibly even next week when the retreat is on. So I've been feeling for the last few weeks now, and I wanted to talk on this last week, but then we had Lindiwe, is just the spring, the season of spring has just been sitting with me. And I now often talk about the seasons of the Christian year and the Christian calendar and that, but I don't often talk about, you know, the actual physical seasons of the year and that. And so I just want to, share some thoughts with you this morning. And it's kind of like I'm seeing what's happening around us as a bit of a metaphor. It's this, I want to say this, like pregnant picture of what God could be doing with each of us. So I want to invite you to do the dangerous thing. But just to say, so what could be happening in my life and my family and my community and even our church community at this time of spring? And how, these are the dangerous prayers, how can you make room? How can you embrace what God wants to do with you? And I don't have any answers for you. I'm going to share a few silly pictures, but the Lord needs to do it. And you need to do it. You need to say, what are you saying to me? So that's the entire message. But because I'm a preacher, we'll spend another 40 minutes talking about it again. So Lord, we really ask you to somehow take what I share, but it's just a glimpse of what is happening around us. And could you use that as a seed in our hearts? And our prayer, Lord, is that you would teach us, show us how to say yes to you. How to embrace the new that you want to do in each of our lives. So I do have two scriptures for you. There's about 15. If you Google the Father is the Gardener, and if you talk to George, he'll give you all these scriptures out of Farming God's Way and things like that. But just two thoughts to open this up. Isaiah 51 and Isaiah 58 say, and I love these thoughts that often come up from Isaiah 40 to 55 in actual fact. Excuse me. Spring, it's killing me. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, the first garden, her wastelands like the gardens of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Excuse me. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land like my grass at the moment, and will strengthen your fame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. So spring is just a metaphor. It's just a picture at the moment. There are, you know, within the spiritual life, within our walk with the Lord, within the kingdom and the church, there's so many metaphors. that the church uses. And I just want to like almost suggest to you, spring as a metaphor for the kingdom. So, spring speaks to me of new seasons, new sights, sounds, colors, smells, all these kinds of things. What is happening here? There we go. It's a little delay. So, I joke with you every year. I think it's the last 2 years. But when I say spring is literally trying to kill me. And I think I thought last year was bad. This year is just absolutely appalling. I think the last 2 weeks I developed some kind of even secondary infection when I just ran out of tissue boxes and antihistamines and all those kinds of things. And that bush behind me is very problematic because that's right outside our bedroom window. So I'm going to share some pictures of our garden with you. And just to let you know, I don't know the names of things. I only know the Greek names. And that one is that the translation of the Greek for that is purple bush on my balcony. So some others will be able to enlighten you on the actual Latin name. And okay, well, there's a few of them. You can hold them, John, because I'm not going to remember them. Now that is a bush, in actual fact, that Alan should be just salivating on. I mean, like, you guys, because that you walk near that bush, and it just buzzes. It is filled with bees. And that's right outside my bedroom window, which doesn't help me breathe, mostly between the pollen and everything like that. But it's the most splendid looking. Just the color of that. That picture doesn't even catch it. So, excuse me, I don't know what's happening to me today. So that idiot absolutely loves spring. I mean, he is just like, so that's the second thing that's trying to kill me. That's our second child of the cats that I'm looking after while Bev's away. His name's Gatsby, Sir Gatsby. And he just loves spring. He has this like excitement and he runs into the garden. He literally, when you find him on the lawn, that's what he does. He starts lying on his back and chatting to you and having this whole, like, you know, frolicking and that. And he finds all the pollen, all the leaves, the worst stuff in the garden. And then he comes and he lies on our bed with us and he says, let me share my life with you. So the reason I think of that is that spring speaks to me of an anticipation, an expectation of something new. You start seeing just these colors and, you know, sometimes depending on the year, I'm forgetting the one name of the jacarandas come out. And I mean, they're streets that are like these purple, you know, just carpets of jacarandas and that. I mean, that's often a lot earlier on. But even now, there's this expectation that needs to rain. So now we're having color, and we're having smells, and we're having sounds. I mean, thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Sure. Thanks, Nick. So even the birds are like, you know, you hear the birds from, is it sort of late August, but by September, it's like you think it's not even light yet, and the birds are excited about, like, you know, the day's coming. And what happens with that in our house, and why I think of the birds, is they wake the cats up. And then the cats are like, oh, we're up, and we want to be fed, and we want to go outside and that. And it's almost like, you know, you're looking at your, literally, that idiot can start at 3:45 in the morning. Okay, and he's like, it's spring. Let's get up. Let's get going. And it says to me, what is our anticipation of something new, of something that God could do by His Spirit in our lives with each of us. Do we have, you know, we kind of like, I mean, what we like to do is, nah, we're on stage 16 or whatever it is, so we're moaning and we're grumpy and we're grumbling. Some of you probably only came to church because you thought there's tea and coffee. And it's like, you know, we can just be in our, just in our rut of like, this is my day, this is my life, this is what I'm doing. But I want to say to you, it's like, look around you. What's happening as you drive to work, what's happening in your garden should speak to us about the kingdom of God. God wants to do something fresh in our lives. So I thought I'd share with you one or two other idiots. There's another spring picture, and there's the devil in the middle of the garden. But that's my cat, one of them, that comes and finds me with the hair and the pollen from the garden and that kind of thing. But we're not going to talk about her. But so there are two pictures here. Don't you like that one? That was me. So was that one. The weavers are another symbol to me of spring. We have lots of weavers in our garden and they try to find their nests and that. And there's a whole metaphor that you could talk about in terms of the weavers. And I mean, you get these male weavers that are just so frisky and it's spring and they're building their little house for the female weavers and there's this whole thing going on. We could use that as like marriage counseling or something like that. I don't know. And what's so funny is they build these nests above our pool. And the female comes along and she does this thing. She just says, it's either going to last or it isn't. And if it doesn't last, boom, it's in the pool. And I wake up and there's this nest. And the little oak is starting again and he's found a little stronger branch and he's like doing his whole thing. But my mom absolutely loved weavers. She would come in her garden and our garden and that, and she would just love taking pictures and just looking at the weavers. And again, the weavers are the one thing that says to me, I sit and I look at them, and I take loads of photographs of them sometimes and that, and it just says to me, they're building with an expectation, with an anticipation. And I mean, these oaks work hard. I mean, they're running all over the place, and they trash my pool completely. Because they build a nest above the pool, then all their little leaves and all their little building material that gets used and doesn't get used falls in. I should send you a picture of the pool. It's just like, you know, all this green stuff. But again, there's not just an expectation or an anticipation. There is like this frantic activity. They are engaging just by nature. They're engaging in building something new because of the season. And often I look at them and I go, so what am I making room for? What am I making space for? So let me jump across to some of our pot plants. I just took a couple of pictures of these. There we go. So again, I know all the Latin names for that. For those on the right, you have two orange plants in pot. The one in the middle is then a yellow plant in pot, and then Bev's orchids. The orchids aren't looking that great. She has these beautiful, beautiful orchids that absolutely look just stunning, and they come out quite early, so they've actually kind of been in their prime for weeks now. But this is the thing that shows how ignorant I am about the garden. But I can look at the garden and go, well, that's dead, and that's dead. And well, in that pot, we might as well just, you know, dig it out and repot it and plant something in it. And those pots particularly, we've got the ones next to the gate and the others are near the front door and that, right up until like a couple of weeks ago, nothing was happening. You would look at that and go, toss it. And that's often what happens in winter. The one picture in our, I've shared this one before, but in our old house, we used to have these blossom or cherry blossom trees. I don't know if it's a cherry blossom or just a blossom tree. And in winter, that thing looks absolutely dead. If you looked at it, you would say, cut it down. It has no leaves, it has nothing. It just looks like an empty shell. And amazingly, that became one of the prettiest trees in our garden. And it says to me that God never gives up. God never throws away. God continually. If you read John's gospel, read particularly from John 5 through 7, there's this continual thing of Jesus just saying how he wants to participate in what the Father's doing. And there's, Jesus even says, he says, my Father is always working. And the garden, this picture of spring or this picture of the Father, excuse me, as the gardener, says that God in his faithfulness doesn't give up on us. And there are times that we can sit here or at home and we feel like spiritually we, in Isaiah chapter 51, we're in a wasteland. You can feel that it's like it's winter. Your heart is cold. The soil of your heart is dry and hard. And you kind of can go, well, I might as well just give up. God's not doing anything. And spring reminds me that God is always at work. Romans chapter 8, God's love never gives up. There is nothing that can separate us from God's love. Not the hardness of our hearts, not the winter of our soul, or the winter of Eskom, or whatever it is that you're struggling with. God's persistent, amazing faithfulness can break through. But maybe it's just under the surface, below the bark. So let me share one picture before the lights go out. What a great picture. I just took these on my phone. I needed my camera. I needed Robin to come and take them. So there are two thoughts here that I want to leave you with this morning. The one is about either pruning, gardens need to be pruned, or just making space. So I could share with you, it's in about August, we prune roses, and I don't do any of the pruning, Rev won't let me near a rose. I can take photographs of the pretty flowers when they come out, but I don't touch them. So it's normally in about August, I think it's early August, she gets pruning on the roses and things like that. And I was sitting on our balcony, I was looking down into the garden, and we have a very, very overgrown garden. And we've got these like sort of bushy things that spring up all over the place. And I was looking down in this one section and going, these are yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's one of like two things I can name. There's grass, and then there's a yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Bev loves yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I was looking at that and going, this thing is just stuck in the midst of that. So I decided we're going to make some room for it. I don't think I've made enough space. But that space is all new. That just cut apart so that it could get some sun. And maybe we need to prune it again. I have no idea. Water it or whatever. They seem to be quite hardy. They kind of, you know, work with the seasons and the rain and everything like that. But Jesus talks about the vine and pruning the vine. And my yesterday, today, and tomorrow is a picture for me of spring. And one of the things that we can actively engage with, the one is just to worship and love and thank God for the fact that He is faithful, the fact that He never gives up, the fact that He's always at work. But how we engage with that is sometimes we go, Lord, I need to make room, create some space for something new. So if you can use the pruning analogy, that's such a wonderful prayer to pray. You know, let me just encourage you, don't pray it for me, but pray that over yourself regularly. God, just prune away whatever you don't like and whatever you'd... And then often, 2 weeks later, people are, why is this happening and why is that happening? I'm saying, remember that prayer that you prayed, God wants to prune my garden. But this is just such a picture for me of being intentional about creating space. So Neil mentioned spring cleaning in the prayer meeting, and it did relate to something that I was thinking. So my study gets sometimes quite overrun with books and things, and whenever I'm busy with things, I pack them out on my desk, and then my computer's there, and then I want to put my computer where I was busy with paperwork and everything, then I push that all over on the side, and then I take books out, and then I decide I don't want to read them, and I just, you know, pack them at the back, and they're not back in the shelves. And so I'm sure, like, none of you, I mean, you all have these pristine desks, Angus, where you can find anything you want, and it looks just perfect. I know Dylan, when I've seen Dylan's desk is, if you need to see a workspace, it's very, very, and he's got his laptop there, and it's probably perpendicular to the edge of the table, yes. So, but if you like to see my desk, well, it's a creative space, if I can put it like that. So I was chatting to Amy, and I say, I really just need a morning where I just clean up my study and just get in and clean my study and that. And, you know, she's often, I don't know whether it's on Instagram or whatever, following all these things. And she says, you know, Dad, that's the problem that we all have. We think of a task and we think it needs the whole day or it needs a whole morning. So we put it off and we never get to it. And next year the study looks exactly like it did last, well, probably then with another year's worth of stuff. She says, you know, people are advising, and they're saying in terms of like whether it's spring cleaning or something like that, is just take a section of the study. Just start. So either take a portion, I'm going to clean that bookshelf, or every Monday, I'm just going to do it for half an hour. And then all of a sudden, when you create a little bit of room, when you create a little bit of space, you engage with it because it's something that you can actually see that you can do. It's attainable. And so you say, I'm not going to worry that the whole room is a mess or tidy up the whole room, repaint it and, you know, whatever. You have all these bright ideas and then we do nothing. Just spend half an hour. And then what happens is that you look at that section, you go, that's amazing. I can spend another half an hour tomorrow or next week. And you just chip at it faithfully like that. And apparently it feeds into just all kinds of motivation, and it's an antidote to procrastination. She gave me this whole lecture. But it's amazing, and I thought, isn't that exactly what we need in terms of our relationship with God? You know, sometimes we think, it's winter. Nothing's happening. I need revival. I need a complete spiritual makeover or whatever it is. And then nothing happens. We go from, it's this terrible, nothing's happening, and I need everything to be sorted out. And again, the garden just shows me. Just start small. Just create a little space and see what God can do.